Love Talk Radio.
Get in. Go. Go sit down. I don't know. You had it. Okay, well, you have to go get it. I don't know. You had it. Then go get it. Okay, well, you put it somewhere. Go find it. Go sit down. I'm going to get you today. Go sit down. Put your mask over your faces, please. Allie, where's your mask? Here, Allie. Sit down, Allie. Addison, you have to sit down.
Morning.
Thank you, Lord, for these 25 years that you allow us to serve in your vineyard. We pray for these the children who have gathered here today, asking that you bless them as well as their homes and households. We thank you for this place called Blessed Community, and for you leading us to where we are in this present day and time. We thank you, Lord, for being our all. Thank you, Lord, for our soul's salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the relationship that we have with you. We thank you, Father, for where you brought us from and where you're leading us to. And we pray, Lord, that you bless us with your presence this morning. Breathe your spirit upon our services. Bless these who are present as well as those that will be hearing by the airways. And Father, bless the community that you have for 25 years. We pray that you will give us a self-seal ability to serve you with anything that lies. We ask these blessings all in the blessed name of Jesus, and for the sake we pray. Amen. 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 I said, glory is this. Good to see each and every one of you. Of course, I make a witness on this day. So this time, let us all stand and we shall sing Amazing Grace. Let the church say amen. Let us say amen once again, for there's a word from the book this morning found in the book of Acts, the 28th chapter. If you'd be so kind, I would like to direct your attention to the 14th verse. Acts chapter 28, verse 14 reads, there we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. And we want to preach briefly on this subject this morning, ministry milestones.
Amen.
Ministry milestones. The Lord has blessed us to see 25 years. Here at Blessed Community, we're grateful. That's a milestone. Amen. For the Lord. Blessedness of doom, said, which lasts a year, but here we got it. 25 years later, still preaching, still going strong, still trusting and believing on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul, in our text this morning, had also reached a milestone in his ministry. Is Paul, after years of thinking, praying, fulfillment of a God-given dream. Despite him being a prisoner and close to finding himself exhausted in his soul and body, here he is, seeing a sight of the great city Rome. And as he saw them, we're told that Paul gave thanks to God and was encouraged. For all of us, we all reach milestones in our ministries for God. But do we ever take time to stop and thank God and become encouraged? It's a divine principle that we should all practice. It's a prerequisite of our Christian living. Every now and then, you need to take time to stop and thank God for where he has brought you and become encouraged because it was God who has brought you all the way. Every day we need to thank God. Every day we need to be encouraged and take courage for where God has brought you. Particularly when he brings to pass the fulfillment of some heaven-given dream, some heaven-given vision, or some long-expected event. If we look at Paul, we see Paul taking a backward look to where their God had brought him. About 5 years previously, Paul had written a letter to the children of Rome saying that God, my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making my request, if by some means, how at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Then he concluded his letter with an earnest request for traveling mercies and the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Paul says, I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Now I beg you, my brother, and through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those who are in Judea, who don't believe that I may come unto you. You see, what took place through the intervening years fills nearly two-thirds of the book of Acts. Truly, Paul had some mighty exploits. But those exploits didn't come easy. Paul faced death time and time again. There were stones. There were beatings. There were imprisonments. He had to endure a shipwreck, a snake bite. And many believed that he had to deal with malaria as well. So is it any wonder that when Paul saw the brethren of Rome, he gave thanks? For God had answered his prayer and Paul was satisfied. Have you ever reached a milestone in your spiritual experience? Have you paused to thank God for answered prayer? It may be that the answer didn't come the way that you expected it to come. You may
have to look back on some trials, some tribulation, some suffering, maybe sickness under death. But praise be to God, God has brought you through the day. And we need to thank God for where he has brought us. Then Paul took that backward look and he thanked God for restated promise. For there were two times where the Lord appeared to Paul and assured him that he would be drunk. The first time came in a Roman castle in Jerusalem after he had almost been lynched. Then on the second occasion, Paul found himself on a storm-tossed ship when, humanly speaking, all hope of being saved gone. But Paul had not forgotten the restated promises of Christ Jesus. He rejoiced and gave thanks at their fulfillment when he was able to find her. She wrote, have you ever thanked God for all of the revelations he blessed you with? Blessings and promises to he has rendered unto you during your lifetime. And Paul was also thankful to God for the promise of the revealed purpose. For nobody can read through Romans without being confronted with the revealed purpose of God for Christian living. Listen to Paul, if you would. Paul telling us that he was called according to his purpose, being conformed to the image of his servant. So the question arises, my brothers and sisters, as to whether these great truths that Paul speaks of in the Word of God is. These great truths have affected the believers in Rome. So as Paul looked at these brethren, he thanked God and he took courage because his purpose was coming to pass. The presence of these brothers and sisters indicated to Paul that it was more than what we could see in the surface. When he saw these individuals coming to him, he was overjoyed. You see, scholars tell us that in the Greek phraseology, the significance of that statement that they came to meet him, it goes a little bit deeper than that. It's like a group of city representatives coming out to meet a general or a king or a conqueror. They weren't just coming to Paul because they didn't have anything else to do. They were coming to Paul because Paul had done something for them. Some believers who came to meet Paul traveled 43 miles to the at Pilate's court. Then they've got others who traveled at least 33 miles, that without driving in the car. To meet Paul, they had to give up some things in order to give Paul his due. They were not afraid to be identified with a preacher who was in actuality under arrest. They were growing in grace. They had grown in Christ Jesus, and the state that they were in and they found themselves, they attributed to Paul because Paul had preached the gospel. So he looked at these individuals coming to meet him, and he was encouraged. But not only did Paul look back on where God has brought us, he had to also take a forward look. He sent courage through the fellowship of the saints. We already noticed the welcome that the brethren had given Paul, receiving him as a general or a king or a conqueror. Their lives had been transformed by Paul's God-given ministry, by his pen, by his writing, and his prayer. And now they wanted Paul to know, and he needed that encouragement, because it appears that a mood of discouragement had taken grips of Paul. Here he is recovering from the rigors of travel and sickness and weakness. And more important was the apprehension that laid ahead of Paul. He was at the crisis. He was at the crossroad of a great career. He was knowledgeable. He was aware of the pitfalls that awaited him in the great city of Rome. Yet he still had the responsibility of being an instrument of God to conquer Rome on God's back, all the while suffering from a deep sense of loneliness concerning his ministry that at times threatened to overwhelm him. Had it not been for the saints who came out to meet him, they came to meet Paul, and Paul found himself embarrassed because they came to see him. Many preachers find themselves under unspeakable strain and have collapsed altogether because there were no breath to meet them and encourage them in the Lord. Every now and then it does bother me to hear members say, "Pastor, I'm praying for you." That encouraged me. And Paul in our text not only found encouragement from the brethren, but he also found encouragement by way of the Holy Ghost. Don't get me wrong, being encouraged by the saints, it does your heart good, but it doesn't take the place of the fulfillment of the Spirit. For Paul, this moment has a milestone in his ministry. For if he never needed Holy Ghost boldness, he needed it now. Here he is, he landed at a port at Rome's facility named Puteoli. He could see the fleets of Roman vessels buoyed and anchored in the harbor. Here he is looking at rich folk yachts. And Rome was bustling. It was booming in this time. And not only was it booming financially, it was also booming in sin. And Paul realized that he understood that he had a challenge that he had to overcome. Rome was full of needy individuals who needed to be saved. He had spent months thinking through the events that awaited him, and he knew that only Holy Ghost and church would enable him to be a preacher for God in Rome. Because 5 years previously, we hear Paul writing that so much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome. He tells us that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And on these three missionary journeys, Paul had learned that only Holy Ghost church could enable a man to stand by the truth when all the forces of hell was against him. And if we ever needed this kind of quality of courage in you today, for everything that we've been taught to believe in, it seems like it's teetering, it seems like it's crumbling, but be of good cheer. God knows what we're going through, and my word to you this morning is that God is able. You see, we're often told that preaching is old-fashioned and it's simple. It's for the simple-minded, but that's all right. It was good enough for mama, grandmama, and her mama, and it's good enough for me. Can I get a witness? For only those with Holy Ghost courage will ever survive the onslaught of the devil. I don't care how modern you try to be in this sinful world that we live in today. You better make sure that you get in touch with Jesus. Because can't nobody handle that old dirty devil but you. It takes courage that you need to take it and get it by faith. Take it as a person of the Holy Ghost. But Paul knew that such courage he needed, because he was going to be a prisoner for God in Rome. In a few months, we will hear Paul himself call himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. You see, Paul, instead of succumbing to a circumstance, he made his circumstances the very platform for the extension of his ministry. He didn't say, because I'm in jail, I'm going to close the ministry now. He said, no, I'm going to use this jail to extend my ministry. In other words, those of you who are sick, don't shut the ministry down. Use that sickness as an extension of your ministry. Amen? Those of you who may be going through it financially, don't close the ministry down because you're going through some financial difficulties. I'm not preaching, I'm testifying. If we haven't learned anything in 45 years, we've learned that God will pay the bills. God will keep lights on, he'll keep gas on, he'll supply what you need when you call upon his name. Don't let your circumstances hinder your ministry, but use your circumstances as an extension of your ministry. For here's Paul writing to the church of Philippi, expressing there were some who were uncomfortable with Paul being in jail. So Paul had to encourage them. He replied and said, I want you to know that the faith which happened to me has actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the individuals who are guarding me that in actuality my chains are in Christ Jesus. You see what was happening? Soldier after soldier that had been chained to Paul's side had been saved, because they were in close proximity of Paul. Amen. So that the more soldiers that they dispatched to watch out for Paul, God was saving them. And as they were being saved, the palace of Caesar was changed. That's good news. Because what was happening, Rome was slowly but surely being conquered for Jesus. And that's a challenge to us today. Individuals that you come in contact with on a daily basis, don't be ashamed to show them your chain. Those of you who are chained to Christ Jesus, there ain't no shame in being a prisoner of Jesus. For Jesus is a good master. Amen. And when you start reflecting on what our master has already done, then make a right turn and look at what he's about to do. Then rejoice in what he's doing right now. Individuals that don't know Jesus will want to know Jesus based on what you are showing them about Jesus. Not only was Paul a prisoner of God, but he was also a pinman of God. As he was addressing the saints in Philippi, Paul says, to write the same things to you is not Jesus, but for you it is safe. For there are those who argue that this verse that Paul had already written to this church and many others have. In other words, Paul had found a real ministry in using his pen for God. You know, Paul wrote six letters before he was in prison. And he wrote no fewer than seven while he was in prison. And it's those prison epistles that will move you to tears and make your heart burn with holiness over fire. When you listen to what Paul is writing in those prison epistles, I discovered that you can't tell me what and how God good is, how good God is, if you've never been through it. But what all the individuals who have been set free by Christ Jesus, one individual start telling their story of how Jesus showed up in their darkest hour and made a way out of no way. That gets my heart to burn. And I can't help but say, thank you, Jesus, for being all that we need in the troubled day in which we live, for everybody in their life to find something wrong with something or somebody. But I'm so glad that we serve a Savior who doesn't just focus in on the wrong, but he'll right the wrong and make a way and lift you up and start you on the right path. You see, our problem is we're too focused on what we can't do because we don't have the firm or the faith or the personnel. But take courage from Paul as well. Even in the restricted confines of prison and through his pen, he restated homework. God often shuts us up in situations in order to prove that he's far more effective in the ways of service and blessing. I thank God for my 25 years here, because in these 25 years, I've learned to put my trust in the right person. Over 25 years ago, I had my trust put. I was trusting too much on men. And I'm here to tell you that men will let you down when you're going through some trials and some tribulations based on how a man feels will determine whether or not they will help you. But I'm so glad that in these 25 years, God has show me, don't trust in man, trust in me. And it's because I have trusted in God that we're here today worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We ain't worshiping no man up in here. Do you hear me today? Worshiping something. Ain't nobody profiting off anybody up in here. Do you hear me today? When we come on here on Sunday and bless the community, we're here to lift up the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness? And that's what we've been doing for 25 years of this. God allowed us to see 2 more years, 5 more years of praise be to God, 25 additional years. Jesus' name will be uplifted. Now here's a new flag. In order to get that relationship right with Jesus, and some relationship, you need to step out. Amen. Because a lot of folks, even your best friend, they really don't want you to be relying on Jesus. They like you better when you rely on them. Amen. But you better learn how to do like that songwriter said, I'll learn how to lean and depend on Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus will keep you busy if you lean on him. Bring it down, pal. Jesus will feed you if you lean on him. Jesus will heal you if you lean on him. Jesus will deliver you if you lean on him. Jesus will take care of a family if you lean on him. Jesus will do away with a bad attitude if you lean on him. Jesus will pay a bill, heal you when you're sick, feed you when you're hungry, if you lean on him. Here's another thing that I think through. We have a lot of individuals come our way in these past 25 years, and a lot of individuals have gone left, and they're leaving and made me happy, right? Amen, somebody. You want to talk about some dancers when they left? Back to Ken Hill, doing cartwheels with my grandbabies and saying, thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus knows how to lift the load off your back. And it's hard following Jesus when you got some naysayers on your back. But I'm so glad that I'm getting to bring out here and bless the community. And my word to you this morning is, thank God for where he has brought us. Thank God for where we are today. And get ready to start shouting for what God has for us in the future. Just look back a year ago where we were. And God said, in a year you're going to go through a pandemic. Then circumstances will be tough. And it's going to look pretty bad. But look at us now. You may not be here with us in the sanctuary, but those listening on YouTube, you can still wave your hand. And I thank God that you're looking and listening and celebrating 25 years of service and God's service here at Blessed Community. Some of y'all may not have been here all 25 years. And some of you have known me longer than 25 years. And just celebrate and thank God that we're still here, despite the naysay. Amen. And that's what put the smile on my face. You know, the black Methodists of doom who couldn't find anything good to say. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Amen. Look at. Don't look at me, sir. Look at Jesus. Doing all that backstabbing. You know how we did this. We got a little circle there in the side. Hand a pole down. Look at Jesus. Still strong. Still standing. Not there. Praising. Not there. And doing all this to steal. Going to work every day. God is good. And he's good. All of his 25 years, he's been good at. Each year has been better than the year before. Why is that? Because God has sent brothers and sisters here blessing you. And when I see you, I get encouraged. When I shut it down during the week, I think about you all and I get encouraged. When individuals lie, I get encouraged. Because I'm going to be able to get up on Sunday morning and tell somebody, God will make question that. God is good. Question that. God will. Question that. God has blessed us for 25 years. Question that. Still here in 2020, despite the pandemic. Question that. Can't nobody do us like me. Yeah, we're limited in numbers this morning. But we're overflowing spiritually. Amen. We got more folks listening to us by way of the airwaves. Amen. Celebrating with us. And with that, I'm encouraged. Because if the Lord can do that in a year, imagine what he's going to do next year. God doesn't have any setbacks. Amen. And I'm encouraged. I walk to see 26. Amen. The 25 is great. Thank God for that. I praise him for 25, but my goal is to call to see 26. And to still be able to tell somebody how good God is. Isn't it good? Has to be good soon. Somebody stop yet? I'll give the Lord his God. good.